restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, good morning. I'm Dan here at the American Network, and certainly the events of the 11th of September 2001 were a watershed event for our nation. Certainly the day before, most Americans were totally unaware of the terrorist threat. The day afterwards, why people were flying flags and there was a resurgence of patriotism. And we were ready to go to war with, who would ever attack us? Terrorism. We began the war on terrorism. And, of course, as we know, 15 Saudi nationals, Saudi Arabian nationals of the 19 Islamic terrorists were told to attack the World Trade Center that day. 50 of them came from Saudi Arabia, so we immediately attacked Afghanistan and entered into a 10-year war. We're still there. Have almost a half a million troops with the 300,000 Afghan troops who are training, 100,000 contractors, 90,000 U.S. troops, 46,000 NATO troops. 50 members of Al-Qaeda remain there, and we've got half a million men fighting terrorism in Afghanistan today. But, of course, what really happened on September 11th? Well, with us this morning is a former police lieutenant, William DeMitt, who was there at the World Trade Center, who was part of the cleanup effort after the destruction of that building. He's written a book about what happened to the people who worked on what we refer to as the pile, the massive amounts of rubble that was there. And the book is called Delay, Deny, and Hope They Die. Delay, Deny, and Hope They Die. We'll have copies of it and offer you a CD of our interviews with Mr. Smith. And this is one of the most important interviews you'll ever hear because, of course, September 11th changed America forever. It has justified massive increase of government control over your life, monitoring of your telephone calls. You're being searched when you go through the into the airport or into a federal building. But it was all planned ahead of time. We have the article written by Richard Haass, president of the CFR in 1996, describing essentially everything that was going to happen. How did he know? Well, Mr. DeMitt, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what happened not only to you, but to the other people who worked on the rubble of the World Trade Center.
Thanks for having me on, sir. My name is William F. DeMint. I'm a retired police lieutenant, narcotics commander, NYPD. A little about myself. I'm married. My wife, Barbara, is a registered nurse, and I have two children, aged 13 and 11. About me, I've served in the police department, in the police commissioner's office, internal affairs, patrol, street narcotics. So I've run the whole gamut of fugitive warrants, So I've been pretty much a street person. I have administrative experience. And on 9/11, I was in Ruidoso, New Mexico, building my retirement home. In 93, I was one of the first responders. I was about a half a mile away when they had the bombing of the Trade Center. But on 9/11, I was in Ruidoso, New Mexico, 2,100 miles away. And just like everybody else, I watched it on television. I watched it come down. I then proceeded, just another thing about me, I have two master's degrees, one in education and one in management from NYU. So, but then again, on 9/11, I saw it on television. And do you want me to relate the whole story about how I drove across country?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. On 9/11, I watched it on television, and I waited until about 1 o'clock. All the airport at El Paso, Texas, which is closest to my house. I live in southeastern New Mexico. I was building a retirement house, which was going to be a log house, and I was meeting with contractors on that morning. When I watched the towers, I waited and I tried to get through on the phones. I couldn't get through, and then I called the rental car company, and they said, if you drive it cross country, you're going to have to pay a $900 fee to drop it off in New Jersey. So I said, I'll worry about that later. I then filled up my Ford Tempo with I think it was a Ford Tempo with six bottles of Coca-Cola, and I proceeded around 12 o'clock to drive cross country, and I drove at speeds of 100 miles an hour on average. And getting pulled over in Texas, Amarillo, Texas, the police officer, state trooper, waved me through. I showed my ID card. He said, nobody else will stop you. I then went through Oklahoma, Tennessee, where I stopped again and let go. And then an interesting thing, in North Carolina, I was pulled out, pulled over by Asheville. And the police officers asked me why I was going 95 miles an hour around a hairpin turn. I then told him that I slowed down for him. So after showing my ID card, he slapped his feet together and he saluted me. And he says, I and all the boys from North Carolina State Police salute you boys from New York City. So it was a warm feeling. But I drove home in 2 days. I pretty much drove 15 to 17 hours at a clip, took a cat nap for a few hours. I was running on adrenaline. So when I finally got home about 8 o'clock on Thursday night, I walked in and saw my family, and my wife, my two kids were waiting for me. And then I had dinner and I went to bed. I called up my command, and I had to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning, so I slept a few hours. And at 4 o'clock, I took my department vehicle. I had a take-home police cruiser. I took that into Manhattan. And I drove across the bridge. It was eerie that there was no traffic. It was something out of an Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator movie, the dystopian experience of seeing, empty highways. And at the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, there was police officers. And after, waving me through, I got to the Trade Center another 5 or 10 minutes with no traffic on the West Side Highway. So when I got there or so, the carnage was immense. There was a staging area at West Street and Vesey. And I met all my detectives. I was a narcotics commander from Manhattan South Narcotics. So we met everybody, and we formed up. And I was given my assignments, and then we wound up going over to the what they call the infamous pit. And there was a bucket brigade going on there. And at that time, my first assignment from one of my captains was to stop the firemen from going into the pit.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, The Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, down here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is William DeMint. Well, William, certainly then, did you play any part in the searching for the survivors there at the World Trade Center?
Yes, I did. When I was there, the Bucket Brigade was still going on. And they were trying to curtail things. I had heard from my captain that from the mayor's office they had said that the rescue and recovery stage was over because so many days had went by. This was 3 days later. This is Friday, September 14th. But there was still a fireman working at the pit. And what happened to me is we had 40 firefighters that tried to get into the pit, and we were supposed to stop them. And rather than risk any a riot situation, because they were intent on going in, I moved out of the way, and I let them in, and I got pretty much chewed out later about that. But I was there. My detectives was working on the pit. They were doing the Bucket Brigade. We were there on security, and so a lot of my detectives were on the pit, and I was in the pit with them.
Now, so this is the big hole there that the rubble has fallen into. Now, basically, we're told it was a pancake collapse, and yet apparently most of the furniture and many of the bodies simply weren't there. The cement had vaporized, and really most of the residual was simply steel, wasn't it? What did you see when you were there?
It was a gray dust. It was a gray dust that permeated the air. On the first day, all I had was a bandana that a construction worker gave me. But you could hardly see. Your eyes were burning. It was like caustic drain cleaner, the burning of the eyes and your throat. So we knew it was pretty bad. They just released a report that it was one police officer had his uniform tested. It was dioxins and asbestos fibers. Also, you know, lead and other carcinogens. So it was burning. It was just everything was, you know, dustified. It was just a lot of dust all over the place. And
the chunks of cement, you'd expect if there's been a pancake collapse, there'd been a lot of big chunks of cement.
Yeah, there were some big pieces. There were big pieces of. There was molten metal. There was cement. There was there was cement, but mostly it was dust. No, there was, right. And, you know, out of 110 stories, you know, five or six stories left of everything. So, I mean, everything was pretty much, you know, dust, what was left of it.
Okay. So basically, of course, the people working on the pile didn't have any sort of respirators or anything to protect themselves from the irritation from the dust. Down the line, were you able to get something to protect yourself, your lungs and all?
Well, like I said, the first day I was giving a bandana. Then later on, I was giving, in a day's following, I was giving a dust mask, like you would use around your house for dust. Then after that, there was a box of N95 respirators that were used, and I had one. I dug into the box, and I was given one by the name of Gonzalez that had written his name on it. It was full of dust. It was caked on. There was no filter changes. We were never fitted at all for these things. So from what I understand is, according to HAZMAT, you're supposed to be fitted with these things. And nobody, to my knowledge, was. So, the filter should have been changed every few hours, and we never had filter changes for them. So it wasn't until 3 or 4 days later that I was fitted that I was giving a used N95 mask. So that's basically what happened with most people. Is I was just take what you can get as you would air, and most people opted to use the mask or the bandana. And the problem with the smaller mask, the big respirator types, you couldn't speak. And a lot of times we were doing buildings escorts, and we couldn't talk to the people that wanted to get back into their buildings in the weeks after 9/11.
Well, how long did you work there in the rubble?
I was there for the first couple of weeks. The first couple of steady, I was there at 12. It started around 12, 15 hours a day, and they cut the shifts down. But since my command was, I was the integrity control lieutenant for narcotics. I had for Manhattan South narcotics. I had to go there every day and check on my people. As around October, when the Staten Island landfill opened up, I had to go down there. I started my tour at 6 o'clock at the landfill, so I worked from 6 to 9 supervising my troops as they were digging through the debris at the landfill. Then I had to go into Manhattan to check on my detectives at the World Trade Center. So I was still there for months. I was there, I'd say, overall, the end of December. Middle of December would be a good time.
Well, what did you see? Did they find many bodies there? So you would expect if they had been a pancake collapse, they would have found.
Well, I was with the first day after being at the pit, I was redeployed to the Marriott Vista Hotel. What was left of it, we went up on I guess it would have been equivalent to like the second or third floor. What was left of the building, we moved some. Steel and debris, and I was with the FBI, and they did find a necrotic looking forearm, what was left of a woman's forearm, and they bagged that up as so. And,
this is the adjacent building?
Yeah, this is one
well,
of the.
I want to get to an adjacent building if this was simply a pancake collapse. I mean, it would take a sideway thrust to, expel a. Debris and body parts some distance away. How far away was that from the World Trade Center?
Well, it's kind of hard to tell because when I got there on Friday, everything was just all your landmarks, all your street markings were gone.
Sure.
And how my police officers that were there September 11th, they navigated by the debris. They knew where the piles of debris, okay, we got to go this way. We got to go left. We got to go right. They knew from the debris, so you couldn't make sense of it. Being a former Manhattanite, living in Manhattan for 11 years years ago, there was no way to look around and see your landmarks. Everything was carnage. And then you had the trucks coming in with sand. You had taken debris out. You had the jackhammers going. You had the iron workers taking apart what was left of the girders. So you had all this going on, and it was just, but the whole area was debris. I wound up going to I met with the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers, and they were afraid about the seawall going. There was a crack, and they told me in the seawall. This is going down ramps underneath the. By the Trade Center, by the, what they call the slurry wall. They were worried that it was going to go because the Hudson River, they were afraid, was going to come in because of the leaks. So there's a lot going on at the scene. As far as trying to navigate, we were going over debris. There was still fires going weeks later underneath the ground. Every time they would open up the metal, and you know there'd be fire. The boots were hot, your boots were hot going over, walking over all this debris. So as
well,
far
we were
as
told
they,
that there was molten metal down there in the bottom of the pit for weeks after it's been molten metal. Is that true?
Well, I tell you, all I saw was steam coming out,
okay.
and it was definitely hot. So I did see that they had the trucks, they were taking out fill, they were putting sand in there. There was constant dump trucks coming and going, taking debris out. They were taking girders apart with the jackhammers were going. It was constant.
Well, there must have been an awful lot of heat if there was steam coming out. Was this for a few days, a few weeks, or what?
I remember for weeks. I remember, you know, at least weeks, if not months. I mean, but every time they would open up an area, you know, with the cranes and the heavy equipment, you know, it would be steam coming up. So there were fires burning underneath for weeks, maybe months underneath.
Fires were going there for weeks or months, after the collapse. And you have to ask yourself, why? I mean, what was there burning? What about the steel? Was there anything in the way of molten steel, or was it just steel beams? And basically, I mean, these had been welded together. You know, they went up 110 stories or something. How did they break apart so you could have all this rubble?
Well, I'm looking at the cover of my book, and you know, I just see the facade of my book. There's a picture of it. You know, it looks like a cathedral. The way this is the outside of the
right.
of what was left. It looks like an old cathedral or so. I imagine that was aluminum, but the steel girders were twisted, and they were, you know, and they were up a few stories, I guess four or five stories. The iron workers were taking things apart, what was left of it. But there were chunks of concrete, big slabs of it, and there was debris all over the place.
Well, what did people think as they were doing this? Was there any question at all about the story we'd been told as far as the cause of the collapse? I mean, anybody question how all those major beams that simply, that had held up this building and had collapsed?
Or was it just the idea of
getting through the job?
Yeah, I think everybody was just frantic, running on adrenaline, and everybody was just doing their job as best they could. The iron workers were there. They had Red Cross volunteers, the Salvation Army. They had the fire department. They lost 343 firemen. Kevin was one of my police officers. He was looking in the rubble for his father, who was a 30-year fire department veteran. They were looking for his son, who was a fireman that was lost on the first day. So it was just traumatic on that regard. But everybody was just trying to do the best they could. I don't think anybody was thinking, when they got out of. When I got home, after 12 or 15 hours on their feet, covered with the dust, bringing the dust home to their families without any kind of decontamination, they just listened to the news and went to bed and got up and started the next day. So I don't think, as far as I was concerned.
Was there any harm done from that dust? In other words, what happened to the health of the people who worked on the pile?
Well, I started just... In the days and weeks, it got cold, it was rainy, and, we were run down. So, we started with the sniffles, then we started with the post-nasal drip, the burning eyes, and the hacking away. It became a deep smoker's cough. And, some people were smokers, three, four packs a day. There were other people like me that never smoked before. And I started getting this hacking and from the dust. I was bent over hacking, and as weeks went by, I thought I had bronchitis. I went to, in early October, I went to the police department, surgeon. The police department has their own doctors. And I said, Dr. Cully, I said, I got bronchitis. Could you give me some antibiotics? And she says, I'll give you antibiotics, but she says, you don't have bronchitis. And she goes, you have what everybody else has. And she pointed outside. There were about 12 cops, men and women, on the bench outside, all bent over hacking. And she goes, we're calling it World Trade Center cough. So she recommended, she sent me to a pulmonologist. She goes, do you have any? And I said, I don't know any I never heard of a pulmonologist. I just thought a pulmonologist was somebody that was on oxygen from years and years of smoking from chronic lung disease. So so they sent me to a lung doctor. So I saw the lung doctor 3 months later, and he says, nothing to be worried about. I'll put you on nasal steroids for rhinosinusitis, which is the nose passages and the nasal passages. And I'm also going to put you on other steroids for the breathing, prednisone. And he says, you have a scarring of the lungs. It's called atelectasis, which is a portion, because it's not significant. It's only about the size of a quarter.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with William DeBent, who works on the pile, and one of the literally thousands of people who's disabled.
AM The Lion is expanding their highly revered and successful health and wellness radio programming, and you may be the talk show host we're looking for. No previous on-air experience is required. We help train with production and airing of your own radio show. This rare opportunity is being offered to the right business who is willing to purchase our low-priced airtime to grow and promote their professional business on one of KHNC's longest-running and respected shows. KHNC has a proven track record of propelling health businesses into financial abundance and greater success through our established radio programming. If you are a dynamic health educator, have the gift of gab, are confident you can self-host, and you're a storefront business or service known for being ethical, professional, and caring, email your information and request an interview and pricing now at 1360am advertising@hotmail.com. This is your opportunity of a lifetime. That's 1360am advertising@hotmail.com. 1360am advertising@hotmail.com.
Custom Cabinet Shop is a locally owned and operated family business since 1980. So if you want fair and reasonable prices, personalized service, and excellence in workmanship for your refacing, repair, installation, millwork, or remodeling projects for your home and business, Custom Cabinet Shop can do the job for you. Call now for your free quote and on-site consultation, 303-340-1390. That's 303-340-1390. So Custom Cabinet Shop can attend to your every woodworking need. Cabinets to fit your taste, furniture to fill your space, and shelves to store more. Gun racks for what you pack. High-end, low-end, repair, reface, remodel, or replace. Mantles, ceilings, or trim. Whatever you need. Don't overpay for in-house calls, design consultations, or repairs. Call for your free quote and a single on-site visit to get your project rolling now. That's Custom Cabinet Shop, 303-340-1390. Find us on Facebook.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, I'm here at the American Freedom Network. I guess this morning, this is William DeMint. We're talking about his book, A Delay, Deny, and Hope They Die. So basically, you started to develop this bronchitis. An awful lot of the other people there had bronchitis and and the doctor really didn't do much of anything for you. So then what happened?
Well, I just want to correct one thing. The book is called Delay, Deny, Hope They Die. There's no end in it.
Okay. Delay, Deny, Hope They Die. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yes. Basically, I went to the pulmonologist in January, and I saw him up until July of that year. So that's 9 months after 9/11, and 7 months. Nine months, actually. And basically, he says elements of cough still remain. So I stopped seeing him by that time, but I just was on the steroids still. But everybody was just getting sick like that, the coughing, and we were down at the landfill, the dump. People get very sick, and as the time went on, people were just exhausted. They were depressed. The runny nose, the nasal drip. Then a gastro problem started. People started having burning. I had burning of my stomach, so, and I just thought it was from the diet down there. But we were... there was a McDonald's down there where we were just walking around with hamburgers, eating, because we're there for 12, 15 hours. And this is in the weeks after 9/11, eating, hamburgers with all that dust going around, because, there was no, we didn't know really what the heck it was about. So we were eating down there. We were at the Red Cross tents and Salvation Army tents that we were eating. And so, but I mean, we brought the dust in, brought the dust out. We brought the dust home with us, so it was just everybody just cross contaminated. There was no decontamination, And usual procedures they have set up is they have tents. They should have tents set up where people were washed down and they changed their clothes and didn't bring their uniform home. But I brought all this dust into my police car, and I'm sure it went around through the air conditioning vents and the heating vents and so and. So it, as people got sicker and sicker, it just, nobody really knew what it was. We just thought we were tired and, just had a bad cold, and some people had flu symptoms. But the cough got worse in the months after that. And then in the years after that, the chronic breathing problems happened. A lot of it became exercise-induced asthma that people couldn't understand. Like myself, I was two years before that, at the age of 38, I ran a mile and a half in 10 minutes and 15 seconds. So, I was a pretty avid runner. I was, I had good lung capacity, and now I'm at a point where I can't run a block, without breaking into an asthma condition. So I don't run anymore. Hiking, I'm huffing and puffing. So I don't do a lot of, anything aerobic anymore because of that.
Any idea how many people became ill who worked on the pile?
Well, they're saying that there might be 30 or 40,000 people. I just spoke to a friend of mine, their boyhood friend. He worked in one of the banks down there. I don't want to mention, but he's an engineer for one of the banks. He was down there for months on end, and he's got everything I have, the GERD, the pre-cancer, the esophagus, that's what I came down with, the GERD, the lung problems. He's on steroids, the prednisone, which is a steroid that bloats you up and everything. So he's gained 40 or 50 pounds. He was tall and slim. And now he told me the other day, he says he doesn't want to, tell his family, but he's spitting up blood, I'm saying even these people that lived in downtown Manhattan, because are now suffering too, and they're the ones that aren't, being, looked at. So it wasn't just the 40,000 rescue workers; it's the people that came that were down there that are sick. The people that had to come back to those apartments in that area. From what I understand, Stuyvesant High School, there's kids that were there with all the dust. They got sick. I was at the Battery Park escorting people in, and there was dust all over the apartments. So, it was a hazmat situation. And I came down with lead poisoning, aluminum poisoning. I've got cognitive decline from that. I was diagnosed with a form of dementia a couple of years ago, which is getting better. I'm getting better with alpha lipoic acid intravenous. I go for a chelation, but you know, I still have it. I have my memory problems, and so there's a lot of people having these type of disorders. I got a friend, Tommy Quaznaza. Tommy's about 6'5" and a 34-inch waist when I knew him, and a weightlifter. He must have lifted 500 pounds. He's got something called stiff man's disease. It's a stiff leg syndrome and rigidity, and now he needs a walker. He's retired and has a walker, and he fell off his walker a few months ago, and because he's dizzy all the time, and his gait is unbalanced, and he fell and ripped his thigh from the bone. So there's a lot of neurological problems with people now that are coming up, and in addition to all these breathing and gastro problems.
The thing is that the steroids work, but they don't get to the cause of the problem, and they create all sorts of problems on their own. So basically what's happened? Has there been any effort to try to get to the bottom of what this is all about? Why was the dust so toxic? Was there something in the dust? Or how would you get chronic poisoning, heavy metal poisoning? There had to be something in the dust that was doing that. And yet what has been done to try to get to the bottom of it and help the people who worked on the pile?
Well, there's all sorts of ideas. People are saying that it might be there's a lot of lymphomas. There's a lot of rare cancers that are coming out. Pat Triola is a friend of mine, a police officer. He has kidney cancer. And the police department of New York says, well, the kidney cancer, it's healed. He says, how is it healed? He tried to get disability, and they said it's healed because they took a kidney out. So it's not healed. He's in remission, with thank God, with the cancer. But all these people are dying of these rare cancers. I think there's 300 or so people, New York cops. These are just cops that have contracted cancer. Lymphomas and leukemias. There's a guy named John Wolcott. I don't know him personally. That has a leukemia after this, and lymphomas. So these people are getting sick, and a lot of it they're saying, one of the causes is benzene. Have you been exposed to benzene? Tommy Quaznaza, the guy that has the neurological disorder with the walker that fell down, his doctor says, were you ever exposed to benzene? He says, I don't know. And then they found out that the World Trade Center, the plane supposedly had jet fuel, which is benzene. But there's a lot of these things seem like the people coming back from Iraq. I've talked to a couple of vets coming back, and they have the same things we have: sleep apnea, the reactive airway disease, the GERD, the sleeping disorders, post-traumatic stress. Everybody from 9/11 is getting diagnosed with post-traumatic stress or depression or both.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with William DeBent right here at the American Freedom Network.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Looking for the perfect answer to your nutrition and health needs? Look no further. BioSuperfood, developed to heal the peoples, animals, and land after the Chernobyl disaster, has the most complete, powerful nutritional analysis for health and wellness. Easy to digest, BioSuperfood contains complete proteins, amino acids, and vitamins A, B complex, B12, C, E, D, and K. It contains minerals and trace elements like calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, potassium, iodine, manganese, zinc, selenium, silicon, and it provides essential fatty acids, omega-3, 6, and 9. It's time high in gamma linoleic acid and has thousands of active enzymes and phytonutrients like chlorophyll, spirulina, and carotenes, beta carotene, alpha carotene, astaxanthin, lutein, lycopene, quercetin, and much more. Save your money, save your time. Compare, and you'll find that there is no more researched or superior product available on the market today. Call now and get your discount prices on your next Bio Superfood at 303-257-7576, 303-257-7576, or BioSuperfood at Hotmail.com.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Well, Dan here at American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, William DeMint. We're talking about not only what happened to him, but so many of the other people who worked on the pile. And of course, we do know that after Vietnam, many of our soldiers came home severely disabled because of Agent Orange, and the government simply lied about it. They covered it up, knowing full well how dangerous dioxin is. And certainly, has there been an effort to sort of play down the problem that the people who worked on the pile have encountered and the other people in downtown New York?
Well, I'll tell you, sir, my book is called Delay, Deny, Hope They Die, and this is based on the strategy that the government has used since Agent Orange in the Vietnam War. And this is what they've done with the people coming back from Iraq with the exposed to all these the fires in Iraq. Some people are saying now, Dr. Doug Rocky saying that it was DU poisoning over and that got people sick over there. And from what I understand, 18 soldiers a day are committing suicides, you know, coming back to this country. But this delay deny is what the police department and the city of New York under Mayor Bloomberg have used to deny people the health and compensation. With New York City police and firemen, they're supposed to be able to get compensation, to get a tax-free disability pension because of exposure to 9/11. It's called the World Trade Center New York State Presumption Law, and it states that it's presumed if you took a pre-employment physical before you became a police officer or a fireman, you would and you had a breathing test and all these other tests, and all of a sudden you came down with this asthma, diseases of the lower respiratory tract, the upper respiratory tract, such as sinusitis. You came down with gastro reflux disease, ulcers, things like that, or came down with cancer, or also the onset of new diseases like heavy metals disease. It's all in this bill. They're supposed to give you, with depression or PTSD, they're supposed to give you a disability pension. Now, the fire department was getting out on breathing tests. If they had under 80% on their breathing function test, they would get out on disability. For police officers, they came out with an arbitrary standard of under 60%. So there's two different standards, and this goes back to the fire department having a lung bill. They had a lung bill because of all the fires they were in. But now now nobody is getting disability. The city has put the brakes on. And people aren't getting the disability that they're entitled to. And my book goes into how they play this delay, deny, hope they die game, where they call you in and they look at you and they give you a quick physical, and then they go through the pension section, and finally, you know, months go by, there's a bottleneck, you have to go back to the doctors again. And I've been on my case now since August of 2007, actually before that, 2006, I've been fighting the city on my second case, and now I'm in civil court fighting them on appeal. I've spent $33,000 on two attorneys and fighting the city for something that I should have. When I told the city doctors that Social Security gave me disability for 9/11 related illnesses, reactive airway disease, which is the World Trade Center cough, the Barrett's precancer, the esophagus, the heavy metals, lead and aluminum poisoning, and the cognitive damage from it, and all these other things, and depression. The city told me, the police department doctor says, we have tougher standards than Social Security disability. So that's what's going on with everybody.
And then you haven't been able to get a disability. Are you able to work?
No. No, I don't leave my house. Pretty much I go out maybe once or twice a week usually. You know, I'm usually home, and I'll take the kids to baseball practice. But my sleep, I have a severe case of sleep apnea, and I was diagnosed with sleep apnea in 2006, and I was put on a CPAP machine. 3 months ago, I was put on a new machine. It seems the pressure is like a vacuum cleaner. Now they raise the pressure on it, and I can't sleep. I'm sleeping less than I ever did. So that's...
And are there lots of other, thousands of other, of victims of the World Trade Center cleaned up that are having similar problems?
Yes, yes, many people. In my book, I talked about a simple thing that a lot of middle-aged people get, not a lot, but some people, gout, which is the high uric acid levels, which they call living a rich life. I just found out after putting my book out there is so that more people have high uric acid levels and gout. So there's a lot of symptoms that everybody seems to be experiencing, and that's one of them, a lot of people having gout. A lot of people have the sleep apnea. One guy, my friend Tommy, is down in Florida. He's only about 150 pounds at 5'8", so he's not obese by any means, and he's got sleep apnea, severe sleep apnea. He's got the GERD. Everybody seems to have the sleep apnea, have the GERD, have the reactive airway disease, which is the occupational asthma, and the depression and PTSD.
Well, now, do you have a website where people can go and get more information on this?
Yes. My website is www.delaydeny.org. www.delaydenyhopetheydie.com. And that's all one word, delaydenyhopetheydie.com.
Okay, fine. People can get more information. The book is excellent. We will be offering the book, and you can get it from William & Mint, or you can get it from us, whichever you'd prefer to do. But it's important you understand the tragic fate of, and we're talking about literally thousands of people back there, and yet, of course, this is not getting adequate coverage to the media, and there is no way that the city of New York is going to provide disability payments for these literally thousands of people who are disabled. How are the people getting by? Are most of them getting Social Security disability?
Well, what happened with me, I'm out in New Mexico. I had to apply twice, and hire an attorney. And then he took $5,000 from the back pay, but at least I got it. But people just have their pensions. Now, what the travesty is, we all know about the military, how, people think, well, I'll retire from the military with 20 years. And we all hear about the military that at 18 years, they're cut. You know, their services are no longer needed. What the police department has done to certain people that got sick.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Back and forth.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, I understand here at American Freedom Network, I guess there's no reason to venture out of time, but just what have they done with, I mean, how long had you worked for the New York police?
I worked for 20 years, and I retired in 2002, December 31st of 2002.
Okay.
Because of my conditions, I put in for disability before I retired. In February of 2003, I saw the police department doctors. By this time, I had the GERD, I had the breathing problems, and it had dissipated somewhat by that time, and they denied me. But it wasn't until 2005 that they passed a law about it. That's when everybody started getting sick around 2005, 2006 is when all these residual effects came about. But, for instance, this Patriola that I was telling you about, he had 18 years of service as a police officer working in Chinatown, which is the fifth precinct. So he was down there every day. He was right in what they call a hot zone. He wound up, at Ground Zero, he wound up with kidney cancer. So when he put in for disability, they fired him with 18 years. They gave him what they call a regular disability pension. And they said, okay, you got cancer, you're out with 18 years. They cut his pension, for the rest of his life. He lost thousands every month on his pension because of that, because they retired him early. He was entitled to a tax-free pension. Instead, they cut his pension, his years of service, with 18. So, he's making a couple of thousand less than everybody else that retires with 20, which is inherently unfair.
Well, it's a tragic situation, and we'll look forward to talking to you again. We have Mr. Mitch scheduled on other programs. God bless you, and I just hope that one day, of course, they'll get it straightened out. I think they'll do everything they can, though, to drag their feet as long as they can. God bless. Thanks very much. Appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I said we will be carrying the book, which is called Delay, Deny, Hope They Die. And just gives the background of how these people were treated. But this is what happened to our veterans coming home from Vietnam War, from the first Gulf War, the second Gulf War. And they're simply denying their disability. Many of them, their lives are shattered. Certainly not because they were wounded, but because of the other diseases they got. If you've never seen Beyond Treason, and that's a DVD put out by Joyce Riley and Doug Rockley, Major Doug Rockley, who was the government's leading expert on depleted uranium, you need to get it, Beyond Treason. It's available from Radio Liberty, as is Mr. DeMint's book, Delay, Deny, Hope They Die. Our telephone number, 1-800-548-927, 1-800-548-927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Art and Sydney, we hope that you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because the only way to understand what's really going on is to understand that there really are secret societies out there. A small group of people control both political parties and manipulate the voting system and make mockery of our electoral process. And behind them are powerful spiritual forces that's carried this movement on for hundreds of years. So If you want to get the information, Brotherhood of Darkness will introduce you to it. My talks on the dark secret, the forbidden secret, vitally important, especially if you get them along with the syllabuses. So this is Dr. Stan, hoping that you'll go to our website where you can listen to our programs. They're 24 hours a day. And then we ask you to pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our vision, protection, so until tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705.